All right, how many people have heard of Couch to 5K? It's a, some enthusiastic support. Yeah, this might be a good time to start that. You know, the weather's not too bad, it's not too hot. We're coming off of winter when we've been kind of sedentary, so Couch to 5K might be a good thing. If you're not familiar, Couch to 5K is designed to take a person who is a true couch potato and help them to run a 5K. And it's not like tomorrow, right? It's like there's a training plan, there's accountability, there's training materials, all kinds of good stuff that helps you get to that goal. So Couch to 5K is a wonderful thing, but you know what's an even more wonderful thing? Couch to 5Pray. Because that's what we're doing. We're going to beat our spiritual fitness. I'm going to take us from prayer potatoes to prayer warriors, right? So if you've never prayed before, if you're not sure how to pray, I don't know how this works, I don't know enough to do it, this is the place for you. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to hone ourselves to where we can go out and 5Pray. So 5 prayers a day, not that ritualistic. Don't worry. I can see the lights going off. So I want to start with one of my famous social experiments. I want you to fill in this blank. One size fits. One size fits all, or most, right? You know what I think? I think one size fits one, right? I mean, nobody is perfect. If you're the model on which they base size, whatever, medium, good for you, man. But that just doesn't work for everybody. Have you ever noticed that? You buy the same shirt twice, and it's the same size, but it doesn't fit the same. And it's not like you've had a holiday in between, so it's not you. It's them, right? The standards are off. And so one size, we like to think one size fits all, but that's not really true. One size fits one. Let me give you an example with Couch to 5K. So Couch to 5K is a program. If you follow the program, it should work. But does it work the same for everyone? No. Why? Because Couch to 5K meets you where you are and takes you to 5K. For some of you, that's a very small step. For some of you, that might seem inconceivable right now, but I promise you could do it if you want to. And we'll support you in that. I'll drive right behind you and honk the horn and keep you going. But if you take two people and they do the same program, you notice the guy on the left, he's all happy, like, this is the best thing ever. And the guy on the right's like, I hate you, I hate this, right? So we may be doing the same thing, but it's not the same effect. It's the same program, but not the same effect. Why? Because it meets you where you are and takes you where you need to be. Why do I bring this up? Because this is prayer. Learning to pray meets you where you are and takes you where you need to be. It's not gonna be the same for everyone. So while we may have this Couch to 5Pray program, we'll all progress at different rates, and that's okay. If you've never prayed before, man, this is a great spot to be. If you're already a prayer warrior, maybe you can pick up one or two things that you didn't think about before. And better yet, maybe you can share that with someone else. So looking at this, the same thing applies to prayer. Two different people, same program, progress at different rates, right? So if it's so good, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? I'm curious. This is audience participation time. What keeps it? You can say, I have a friend that doesn't pray because, right? So what is it that your friend doesn't pray for? Why does he or she not pray? What are some examples? Too busy.
Distractions.
Forget. Just forget.
They don't know how.
Don't know how.
I think it's not as important.
Not important. How did you guys look at my notes? Yes. That is a big one. I tell you, the most fun, the second most fun I have as a pastor is at the end of any gathering when we're all together, and I say, would anyone like to close us in prayer? And you know what happens? Don't make eye contact. Don't look at Bill. Right? That's the most fun. That's the second most fun. I'll tell you the first most fun thing later. Yeah, so we have all these reasons that we don't do it, whether it's we don't think it works, we don't know how, it's just not important to us. You know, some people I call the emergency only prayers. Like, prayer is like my lifesaver. Like, okay. Yeah. Yeah, but we're going to make it so simple even a caveman can do it, right? Ba-doom. Some people only pray when it's so bad they have no alternative. It's a last resort. Why couldn't it be a first resort? Why couldn't it steer everything that happens? Why do we wait so long and then put everything on prayer? I don't know. I've done that. I'm there with you sometimes. I'm not saying I'm perfect in this, but it just fascinates me because I don't know if you understand the power of prayer. Think about how you accept faith. As we are forgiven from sin because what Jesus did on the cross. How do you receive that? You pray. You say the sinner's prayer, as is the way that's sometimes said. You say, God, I believe, please forgive me. That's a prayer. So prayer in its essence is talking to God. How many people would like to be the wisest person in the room? Oh, my Lord. Nobody raised their hand. this changes leadership strategy for the next year. How many people would like to be wiser? There we go. I need to phrase my questions, but I see. Yeah, so how do you ask for wisdom? You pray, right? So unless we want to be lost and dumb, we need to talk to God. That's what I'm learning from all this. That's what prayer is. It's just conversation. That's what prayer is. So how do we learn to pray? Well, I'm going to put a little setting here where Jesus, in the morning, he has gone out to pray, as was his habit. And let me stop right there for just a second. He frequently went out in the morning alone to pray. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. If Jesus thinks prayer is important, maybe we should pay attention. Maybe we should do the same. So our setting here is these disciples of his have witnessed Jesus' prayer, and they watch him pray, and they say, you know what? There's something different about the way this guy's praying. And so that's where we pick up the story. In Luke 11, if you want to follow along, verses 1 through 4, and basically the theme that we're looking at today is, can you teach me to pray? Let's listen in. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. These are the words of God for the people of God. And for these words, we are grateful. Amen. I know who all the Catholics are in the room and who the Protestants are because you're waiting for me to say the rest of it, aren't you? Yeah, we added that a little later. This is what was captured in Luke. So this is the fascinating thing to me. These disciples are of Jewish descent. They grew up with all the teachings. Remember last week we talked about the oral storytelling culture? Well, guess what else they were learning from the very first that they could remember? Prayers. There were a lot of prayers in their life. They've seen prayer all their life. They've been taught to pray. The Shema is one of the most beautiful prayers in Deuteronomy. Sometime I'm going to have Chaim come up and give it to us in the original language. It's so awesome. I don't want to put you on the spot, but maybe someday, right? It's beautiful. So these guys know how to pray. And they see Jesus pray, and they go, hey, can you teach us to pray? Because maybe they're thinking, oh, I'm missing something here. There's something about this guy and the way that he prays that I want for me. And so Jesus offers a prayer. But I want to unpack this prayer because it's easy to look at this and just buzz right by it. So let's unpack this whole thing that he gives him, because here's the main point I want to make today. Jesus' prayer, or the Lord's prayer, is a framework, not a formula. Let me say that again. It's a framework. It's not a formula. Let's unpack it a little bit. It starts with Father. This is a relationship. Now, I don't know what your relationship is with your father, but I want you to picture the ideal father. There's many sides and aspects to the father. One of the things that the father does is he protects and defends the family. The other thing is he is often the enforcer of standards, right? How many people have ever heard, wait till your father gets home? I had that on repeat as a kid, right? Yeah, so you know exactly what that's like. But fathers also teach. They help age. They help instruct. They teach rules for a reason, because they want to see their kids succeed, just like our father does. So before you get into any aspect of prayer, you have to understand that relationship. God is just the same as a good, good father. Man, we should write a song, Good, Good Father. That would be so awesome. So begin with the relationship, because that is the whole point of prayer. It's all about relationship. If you don't remember anything else, when you think prayer, think relationship. How many people have relationships and you never talk to the other person? That would be weird. That's not a relationship, right? Now, how you talk to the other person, that's a different issue, but we all talk. So hallowed be your name. So here's a fascinating thing. We just called this person Father, a very intimate and close in real presence. And yet, he's a creator of the universe. So we can't forget that part. We're not just talking to a good guy. We're not just talking to a good father. We're not just talking to a wise counselor. We're talking to the creator of the universe. And we should approach that with the appropriate reverence, but also the appropriate wonder. Is there anything too big or too small to pray? Not to the creator of the universe. Absolutely not. So understand that while he's close enough to be a father, he's also the creator of the universe at the same time. It's the same entity, right? Begin with worship. That always puts us in the right frame of mind no matter what's going on. This next phrase is a tough one if you really mean it. Your kingdom come. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times my prayers are a list of God's to-dos. Hey, God, I really need you to do this for me. And then I need you to do that. And could you take care of this? And that guy, he needs to go. Right? Those kinds of things. Right? That's, I made that up. Welcome to my mind. Aligning it with God's mission is the most important thing. For me, every day, to say, your kingdom come. You know what? My priorities are paled in comparison to yours. What is it that you want me to do today? And you know what? A lot of times, it's not something I want to do. Go talk to that person? Are you kidding me? Go serve there? What? Why? But I got other things I want to do. But it's your kingdom at the end of the day. Jesus models that beautifully in the garden. Nevertheless, your will is not my will. Your kingdom, not my kingdom. This is surrender, and nobody likes that word in America. But what are we surrendering to? God. The building of God's kingdom. That's going to be way better than any kingdom we can put together, right? Your kingdom come. The other one, give us today. Ask for what you need. So many times we're like, oh, that's so petty. He wouldn't, yeah, ask for it. Or, that's so huge. He would never do that. Ask for it. But ask for what you need today. We put so much stress and anxiety about where we're going to be in 10 years. What's your five-year plan? I don't know. I'm worried about lunch, you know? This is where I'm operating right now. But ask for today what you need. Tomorrow will take care of itself. That's what Scripture says. Now, I'm not saying don't plan ahead. I'm not saying, back to the leadership discussion. I'm not saying don't plan ahead and don't budget, don't save. Do all of those things. But don't spend your energy there ahead. That's what we call worry, anxiety. And it does you no good. You can't affect the future by worrying right now. You can affect the future by doing things now, but you don't need to worry while you do them. And that's the point of this. Give us what we need today. And then forgive us. Keep very short accounts of who owes you, your grievance file. Why? Because it unburdens us. When you carry that heaviness, when you carry that bitterness, it makes it really difficult to be nimble. I'm pretty sure God needs nimble warriors, not stuck in the mud ones, not ones carrying 500 pounds on their back, unable to move because of the bitterness and things that they're harboring in their heart. And it starts with us. So we forgive others because that lightens our burden. But we also are forgiven. Don't forget that part. That's going to come up again later. Lead us. Ask for guidance. Ask for wisdom. Let's see. You got the choice of asking this knucklehead for advice or the creator of the universe for the advice you're looking for. What do you think? Yeah, pretty no-brainer when you put it that way. So ask for guidance, ask for wisdom, and then here's the other thing. It goes back to that kingdom thing. Be willing to follow it. How many times as adults you've got kids or people you're mentoring and you go, you know what, the best thing for you would be to do this, and then they don't do that, and then they get in trouble, and then life is hard, and you want so bad to say what? I told you so. Yes, we're on the same wavelength. I told you so. But you hold back out of love, maybe, or you just let it rip. Either way. But it's disappointing, isn't it? You know, you can see all the way to the end of the path, and you know they're going down the wrong way, and you try to stop it, and they just don't pay attention, and they do it anyway, and they end up stuck in the mud, and you're like, ah, this is not that hard. We're the same way with God when we don't follow where he leads, when we don't take time because we're too busy, or it's not important, or we don't think it matters. Folks, it matters if we're going to build his kingdom. How do we know what his kingdom is like? How do we know how to build his kingdom unless we're talking to him? And, oh, by the way, listening. So, here's some objections I think I heard before. I don't know what to say. I don't know the right words for prayer. So, what is the proper syntax and language for prayer? Yes. Yeah, whatever you got. And you know what? You can even pray without words.
That's right.
It's not a verbal thing. It's a heart thing. So you don't have to have the right words. You don't have to pray in King James English. In fact, if you're here, please don't. It's very distracting, right? Just say what you mean. No, you don't need an interpreter for your prayer. You pray from the heart, whether that's words, whether that's your emotions going up to God, whether that's whatever it is. You don't have to have the right words. Again, it's not a formula. It's not if you say the wrong word, it doesn't count. It's just talking. Going back to your relationships with those people that are close to you, when you say things to them, do you always say the right thing? I never say the right thing. Does that mean I just stop talking or we stop having a relationship? No, of course, because it's a relationship. Did I mention that before? Prayer is a relationship. You don't have to always have the right words. And if you say the wrong words, it's okay. You can make it up and say the right words. And the right words start from the heart. Why? Because we're created for this connection. Go back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. Why were we created? What was the purpose? Was it so we could take care of God's creation? Kinda. But that wasn't the root cause. Why did God go, you know what? It'd be cool to make humans. Relationship. He wanted a relationship with us. So when we lost the garden, we lost that connection. See, when Adam and Eve were walking in the garden every day in the cool of the morning, they felt the presence of God. And then they got separated from that. They got booted out. Lost the garden, lost the connection. So the question today is, how do we get that connection back? Prayer. Think about it. We can't go back to that physical spot, nor do we have to. That's the beauty of it. We can connect right here, right now. How? By talking to and with God. That's prayer. Voila. See, we lost the connection. We can get it back through prayer. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to take your excuses and put them right here because they're often objections to why we don't pray. So if you look at this person who is about to approach the altar but stops short because they are too busy, not holy enough, not good enough, I don't know how, all of those things, those excuses in this picture keep that person from approaching God. But here's the thing. They shouldn't be things that stop you from praying. They should be things that invite you to pray. Too busy? This will help you slow down. In fact, it might help you reprioritize your life so that you're doing what's important and not doing what you don't need to be doing. Give you a sense of peace about what's on your agenda. Not holy? What is holy? It means to be set apart. Like I'm supposed to be all white and like driven snow and all that stuff. Yeah, nobody is that way absent Jesus. See, we're all the same in that regard. And if you're not set apart, you're not supposed to be set apart from God, which is this guy. That should be the invitation to be set apart from this world in God's presence. That's what Jesus offers. Don't know how? You know how you get better at doing something? You do it. It's not rocket science. Don't know how to pray? Start praying. You'll figure it out. Read some books. Read this. It's got great prayers in it. Read the book of Psalms sometimes. You want a whole bevy of different types of prayers? You'll see it all there. It's amazing. Don't let these things stop you from God in prayer. Let these things invite you to God in prayer. I know he can handle it. He handles way, way bigger than this, right? So don't let that stop you. Let it invite you. And here's my favorite. Prayer's not an incantation. It's an invitation. And you're looking at this like, Bill, that's kind of making me uncomfortable. You got like a wizard doing a magic spell in church, right? Good. It should make you uncomfortable. Because what happens when we walk up here and we just say a rote prayer from memory like an incantation? We should be more concerned about how God feels about that. It would be like me going, okay, hey, hon, it's our 40th anniversary. Hey, I got this thing. I really want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, roses are red, violets are blue. How would you feel right there, right? That's a rote thing that I'm just saying. There's no heart behind that. That's just something I'm spouting off. I'm not saying that saying this Lord's Prayer is a bad thing by rote. We do it all the time. But do it as a reminder, as a framework. In other words, when the disciples said, teach us to pray, Jesus didn't say, here's a prayer. He said, here's how to pray. This is an outline that we can fill in our own blanks every day, every moment, if you need to. So, yeah, let that be offensive to you, because I think when we talk to prayer, when we talk to God in rote, meaningless, go-through-the-motion types of prayers, I would be offended if I were him. Unfortunately, God is way bigger than me, but it's got to come from the heart. That's not relationship. Let it rip, whatever it is. How do you do this? Okay, here we get super practical for just a second. If you're going to do this for the next 6 weeks, set up your prayer space. When you go home tonight, do not go to sleep until you have set up your prayer space. What is that? It could be a chair at a table. It could be your favorite little nook. Get whatever it is that you want to use for your prayer time. Is it your Bible? Is it your journal? Is it a cup of coffee? Don't make that the night before. You know what I mean, right? Set it all up so it's ready to go. So the first thing you do when you wake up, how many people think you could wake up 5 minutes earlier than you do right now? I will call you if you can't, right? You tell me what time, I'll be your wake-up call. You can do this, but it takes some preparation. Don't let anything get in your way. The first thing you do when you get up in the morning is you go to your prepared prayer space, and you pray. Bill, I don't know how. Well, start with this outline. We'll show you one way that you can do this. We're going to fill in the blanks, because if you analyze the Lord's Prayer, what Jesus said, the way to pray, not a prayer, this is what it boils down to. You're talking about a relationship. You're talking about worship. You're talking about alignment. You're talking about trust. You're talking about honesty. And then finally, because I like the Air Force, you're talking about being a wingman. I'll explain. Here's how this looks. Maybe this is your prayer that you fill in. Good morning, Father. What aspect of Father do you need that day? Do you need the one that encourages you? Do you need the one that kind of kicks you in the backside? Do you need the one that offers wisdom? What is it that you need that day? That's the Father that you talk to. Worship is your good. There's a lot that distracts us. There's a lot that pulls us down and can make us pretty negative. But he is good. Always good. Focus on that. No matter how hopeless or dark the situation seems right now, there is a good that conquers all. The darkness does not overcome the light. I read that somewhere. Alignment, your will, not mine. Oh, this is the toughest part for me. Okay, God, today, I really want to do this, but I sense you're pulling me in this direction. Oh, okay, we'll do that. And you know, I would say 9 times out of 10, it works out better. Nah, it's 10 out of 10. It works better. He's God. He's perfect. Come on. So every time I lay that down, I'm open to the opportunities I wouldn't see otherwise, even if I don't like them. The trust. Provide today's needs. I know you're going to get me through this day. So what is it for you that day? God, I got this meeting. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I trust that you'll provide me the words to say. God, I got this situation. I don't know what to do with it, but I know you'll help me through it. I know you'll show up for me. God, I got this whatever. You fill in your blank and trust that he's going to help you through that day. By the end of day, you will have seen the hand of God move. The honesty is forgiveness for the reasons that we mentioned. You can't maneuver if you're burdened. And if you can't forgive, you're stuck. And that's not a healthy place to be. God wants us to forgive for you. And then it's also very cleansing. There's no better feeling than the freeness that comes after forgiveness. And then finally, be a good wingman. He leads me, not the other way around. Sometimes we forget that. A good wingman attaches to the wingman, or to the lead, rather. Goes wherever the lead goes. Make sure that they are in sync. They're talking to each other all the time. Maybe sometimes visually, sometimes on the radio, but they are in constant contact. And if you have a good wingman and lead combination, it's like one person. It's amazing to watch the fluidity. Like the lead does something, the two automatically just flows. It's a beautiful feeling. And pretty scenic sometimes too. That's what I'm talking about. And the wingman never leaves lead. In this case, though, it's reversed. The lead never leaves the wingman. Be a good wingman. I want to assure you that prayer is not a performance. Bob mentioned, you know, sometimes praying out loud can be pretty intimidating. That's where I get the no eye contact rule. But prayer is not a performance. Nobody's going to go, dude, man, that was like a C-plus prayer. You know, 6.5 from the East German judge on that one, man. That, phew, no. It's not a performance. It's a heartfelt conversation that people just happen to be listening in on, right? If they are insulting your heartfelt conversation, that's on them, not on you, right? Just let it go. Prayer is not a performance, but it is a pathway. A pathway to what? Back to where we started. Back to the relationship we were created for. Back to the beginning where God had this idea that I'm going to create humans so that we can be together. That relationship, walking in the early morning, talking with God every day. See, this prayer is the way that we get back. In fact, a better way to say it, prayer is how we come back to the God who never left. Don't you think it's time that we went back home? Let's pray. God, thank you for the gift of speaking with the creator of the universe through the gift of your son, Jesus Christ. Help us to understand that this prayer is not as hard as we make it. It's just a conversation. Let it begin today. Let our hearts be changed so that we begin to speak with you and open our ears so that we might hear you. Even in this moment, right here, right now, let the prayer begin. Let us get off the spiritual couch, the one of apathy and care, and help us to take the first step. Maybe for some of us, this is the first step. We've never accepted Jesus before. If that's the case, have we got a prayer for you? Maybe some of us have more experience. We know prayer, but we need to refresh it, to renew it. We need a new word from you. God, you are the God of newness. You don't just make things better, you make them new. There's always a new word where you come from. Help us to go to you so that we receive that new word today. Change us. Transform us. Make us like your son. That is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.